You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy is good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and making men of them.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Mr. Paisley Park himself, Marcus Raspberry Beret Vandenberg. What's going on, Brother Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Had a pretty nifty birthday week, if
yes.
you will.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, you know, another year older, but still looking as young as ever. So, holla at your boy, ladies. Who am I kidding? I don't think any women listen to our program.
That's not true.
Your wife. That's who we got one.
We got one.
And she's like 4 weeks behind.
Oh, she's like 10 weeks behind. I think she's like, she's on the episode, I think, with Hat Club Andy. So we're okay. Still at NBA Finals. So
okay, so she hadn't even gotten to the Al Jolson cop yet.
Oh, I don't, nah. That'll be like Christmas time. She'll get around to that.
That's going
to
be a treat. A Kwanzaa miracle.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so the birthday was cool, man. My nieces were in town. They finally left this past Sunday. So the house is a lot more peaceful now without three children running around here. But yeah, had a good time. Went to the Olive Garden on in honor of Virgil and the conversation you had with Virgil a couple of weeks ago. I decided to go to the OG, have my birthday dinner.
Listeners, go find the Corner Podcast with Andreas Hill and Kel Dansby. They interviewed Virgil last week, and if you need a laugh, if you're having a sad day, a rough day, in need of a hug, this interview is so ridiculous.
Yes.
Wow. Something's wrong with Virgil. I'll just put it at that. Something's wrong with the man.
I actually listened to it because, I was interested in hearing what Virgil had to say to the guys, and B, I had to keep tabs on Marcus's podcast mistress.
I wasn't cheating on you this week.
But, yeah, I think Virgil has wrapped up the Get Your Life Award for 2015.
I'll just say this. 14 and a half inches.
Oh, Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones. Yeah. But yeah, Marcus, so that was my week. But I think what the people really tuned in for this week, besides our talk about Sucker Punch Gate, which we'll get to in segment two, is the recap of your world traveling. Last week, you popped in for the first segment. You told us about your time in Canada, hanging out with Wei Ting and the boys up there. But I think the folks want to hear about your adventures in Minnesota at the NABJ conference and your time at Paisley Park.
So about that, we'll start with Prince. So NABJ was last week in Minneapolis, and about a year out, I believe, NABJ put the call out to Prince's people to put on a show for us for convention time, and it didn't happen, but they did get mid condition instead to do a show on Thursday. I did not attend.
Not a bad fallback.
But sometime early last week, NABJ got contacted by Prince's people, and basically Prince invited NABJ to Paisley Park Paisley Park is Prince's recording studio. It's about 35 minutes west of Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, so it's sort of out in the cut. And Prince even went on Twitter, I think on Wednesday or Thursday, and basically hinted that something big was going to happen on Saturday night at Paisley Park for NABJ. So all we journalists were getting their hopes up, and they were excited because they were expecting a Prince concert. Cynical Marcus was like, well, if he's only charging $20,
yeah,
probably not getting a Prince concert. So Saturday night rolls around, and there are some stipulations that Prince put on for this trip to Paisley Park. The first being no cell phones. So you're asking journalists to basically disconnect for 5 hours. All right, that's fine. Number two, no alcohol at Paisley Park.
See, that would have been a deal breaker for me.
You would have said, forget that. So no booze, no cell phone. $20 at the door, which isn't bad. And it's about 40 minutes away. So at this point, I was pretty tired. It was probably day 10 of my road trip. And I was ready to tap out. So I did not go to Paisley Park. I decided to roll the dice and figure, hey, if Prince shows up, you know what? I would take the L. But if he doesn't show up, I'll be really pissed off and tired. So I did not go. Around 2:30 in the morning, I woke up and checked Twitter. And to my surprise, or not to my surprise, I saw a couple tweets from journalists who went and basically was saying, well, Prince came out for 2 minutes, and that was that. So the next morning, we got a bunch of stories, and the story made national news because Prince did talk to 10 journalists that night at Paisley Park, including Michael Wilbon, which is interesting.
Huh.
And basically, Prince wanted to get the message across about the whole Tidal Jay-Z project, and that's where his album's going to drop in September. He did come out on stage. He was out on stage for about 2 minutes, and he basically promoted his new album, which comes out September 7th. And he said, next time you guys are back in Minnesota, I'm going to perform. We're not going back to Minnesota anytime soon. So,
well played, Prince. Well, yeah. Well played.
Nah, but Prince did spend maybe 40 minutes with this group of journalists, and needless to say, there were a lot of upset journalists the next morning who felt like they were led on by Prince, that, you know, he was hinting at a possible concert, and he did not deliver. So it turned into a dance party where they had a DJ. And I guess the DJ only played maybe like 2 Prince songs, which was kind of odd too. So that was Saturday night in ABJ.
So real quick before we move on to the rest of the week, what were your thoughts on the whole Prince deal? Do you think Prince was in the wrong on that?
I don't know. I mean, everything that NABJ put out in terms of the language, it never said that Prince was performing. It said Prince might appear. And Prince appeared. So, I mean, I guess you could say, hey, I went to Paisley Park, which a lot of people can't say, and you saw Prince. Granted, it was for 2 minutes, but you saw him, and you paid $20. I've seen Prince twice in concert, so if this was my only shot of seeing Prince, I could see why people were upset. But I've seen him perform before, so I don't think it's, you know, a huge deal, huge issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can see how some people can feel some type of way, but I don't fault Prince on this because let me tell you, Marcus, there have been concerts here in Hampton Roads that have been advertised for months that Prince is no-show. There was a big concert probably about 15 years ago at HU, and the real HU, and Prince was supposed to show up, and like it wasn't even a month or so out. He canceled like the week of.
Ooh.
And you know that is like, that's past the time when everybody got their hair did. Everybody got their fly suits,
yep,
for the Prince concert. Yeah, so, you know, I felt some type of way about Prince on that one. But the other thing that had me laughing is, like, I could just imagine Prince just coming out and just, hello, NABJ. Let's go crazy. Good night. And then just turning and walking away. Like, that's it? I can't even get Morris Day in the time.
Yeah, and that was my buddy's big deal. Was like, you should at least have one of your apps perform. You know,
Sheila E. ain't doing nothing right now. Call Sheila E.
Yeah, someone. But the fact that no one performed outside of a DJ, a lot of hurt feelings. A lot of hurt feelings.
Oh, so that was the Prince appearance. But how was the rest of NABJ?
The rest of it was okay. I was kind of busy with some election stuff and also some work stuff, so I didn't get to see much of Minneapolis. I went to Mall of America on Saturday. That was probably the only time I made it out of the hotel. And
and the only reason you did that was because you wanted to see where the first Nitro took place.
Fuck, I knew I had a clever tweet. Damn it. I forgot all about that.
You know, you should have showed up with like the Lex Luger puppy shirt on and just walked through the Mall of America.
It's Lex Luger.
What's he doing here?
Ah, I forgot all about that. Yeah. So, really, the Mall of America is a big ass mall with an amusement park in the middle, and the amusement park, pretty impressive for if you're a kid. It was only like $22 to ride everything, which is not a bad deal. But outside of that, it's just a big mall. I don't see. I mean, I'm sure back in 1995 it was the place to be, but 2015, just a mall. Mall.
Like I've been there. I think we went out there 1 year for whatever reason. I think my mom was going to a seminary for the summer, so we kind of packed up and lived in Minnesota. Or St. Paul, actually, for a few weeks. And we saw some St. Paul Saints game. We went to a Twins game. And then we went to the Mall of America. And at, you know, 16, 17, it was pretty cool. But at, you know, 38, like, no, I'm not going to no damn Mall of America.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a kid, I'm sure the kid would have had a great time. But dad did nothing for me, so... outside of that, I didn't see much of the city. The Twins were in town, unfortunately, so couldn't see a ball game. And in terms of the rest of NABJ,
were there any fights this year? Were there any Hugh Douglas type incidents?
There were no fights this year. There was no Michael Smith this year. No Jamel. No Bomani. A lot of people. No Morgan Campbell. There are a lot of people who didn't come this year, and I'm guessing it's because it was Minneapolis, and you know. On the paper, Minneapolis, not exactly a place you want to go in August. If you have to choose between vacation and, you know, NABJ, I might go vacation that year, so.
But you said Wilbon was there.
Wilbon was there. He popped in. I actually saw him at our sports task force party, and I think he flew in Friday after PTI. So he was there for a couple of days. I didn't get a chance to talk to him one-on-one, but
I did see the picture you put on Instagram with the black full horseman of journalism with yourself and Jay Adonde.
Oh, and Jay and DA. Yeah, Jay and DA. Yeah, those guys are. I mean, Aldridge said on Saturday this was his 25th straight NABJ conference he had been at.
Wow.
Which is impressive because I've even missed a couple since I've been active. So he's a regular. He's a great guy. Adonis is like, usually always there. Like,
David Aldridge should be the regional director instead of you.
Yeah, listen, Aldridge, he doesn't want to run. what else? Oh, remember we were discussing Brianna Sturry a few weeks ago?
Yeah,
she was there. We honored her at our. Every year we do like a Pioneer Task Force dinner where we honor local athletes from the area. And she is from the area and we honor her this year at our awards.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Brianna Sturry was there. Tony Oliva of the Twins was there, who delivered a epic speech. Basically, his speech was, if you don't know, Tony's Cuban. And he gave this whole speech about why he considers himself black. Basically, you know, looking, he says, you know, look at my skin color, look how I'm treated, you know, I black. So that was a great speech to hear. And he's someone who came this close to getting elected to the Hall of Fame this past year. So I think he will hopefully get in next season. So he was there, which is great. I'm trying to think any other random.
Was there anybody that was there that kind of stuck out? Like, I think you said Whitlock was there 1 year, and then you said Bill Simmons was there 1 year.
Yeah, that was last year. No one like that. No real curveballs where you're like.
Was Roland Martin back?
Roland was not there this year.
Did he bring the ascots?
He didn't bring the ascots and the white linen. He was not, and the mandals. He was not around this year. It just felt like the convention was lacking that oomph. And I think next year we'll be in Washington, D.C.
Next year, probably, like, that's, A, it's a more, dare I say, NABJ-friendly environment.
Well, when your nickname is Chocolate City.
Yeah. And B, I think a lot, that's where a lot more journalists are based.
Yeah, and also next year we're doing a joint convention with our Hispanic brother and sisters. So
okay.
We will have two groups there, so we will definitely see a bump in numbers. Nate Milton, you should come out next year.
I think that might be something. I mean, it's in the area, it's within driving distance. I might have to make the trip. We might have to put together some live shows. Maybe we get Morgan down here.
Yeah, I think Morgan would donate, sure. So yeah, overall, just an okay convention. I don't know if I should say that now that I'm part of the national board, but it's just all right, you know. one other observation I made. Walking back from the Sports Task Force party, was walking back with Monique Jones, who we've had on the show.
Yep.
And along the way, we ran into Adonde, who's walking back to his hotel. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Minneapolis is kind of rough, and this was a pattern that a lot of journalists noticed over the week was the black people in Minneapolis. They are hood, and we don't know if they're compensating for being in Minneapolis, but they are not your average black folks. They will touch you. They are loud. We saw,
and that's just Kevin Garnett.
I know.
like KG, why are you attacking me? Anything is possible.
a group of journalists went out on Thursday night to the Mint Condition concert. After that, they went to get pizza. While they're getting pizza, a fight broke out
at the
pizza parlor, where the pizza parlor owner came out and started spraying mace at everyone to break up the fight. So that was Thursday night. Friday night, we're walking back, and we witnessed a car accident on the way back. And then we're walking back, and there is this lesbian couple who are holding hands, and black lesbian couple, and this white woman who was, I guess, either drunk or just chirping off or what. But next thing I know, we look over, and this black woman punches this woman in the face, one shot, and she just stumbled off like she had been like concussed. And next thing we know, she was like sitting behind the we were in the parking booth. It was like outdoor parking lot. She went behind this parking booth, plopped down, and sat by herself and looked like she was about to cry. I'm like, what is going on? I mean, you have this image of Minneapolis as this.
Like, damn, it's a shame what happened to Britt McHenry.
I know. Oh.
Shouldn't have been talking shit.
Yeah. You have this image of Minneapolis as, A, no black people.
Right.
And B, you know.
Everybody's friendly.
Everyone's friendly and nice. Man, listen. We need to ask someone from Minneapolis on to give me a better sense of what was like.
Now you understand how Prince is the way he is.
Yeah.
Growing up in that community.
It's rough. And I mean, I'm sure there. I was only in downtown, so I can only imagine what the quote unquote ghetto of Minneapolis looks like, because this was all downtown. This was all like, you know, places you wouldn't expect to see.
Like in the hotel district and the restaurants and all that.
Yeah, I want to see like the mean streets of Minneapolis.
Oh, so overall it was a good trip.
Overall, it was a good trip. My next 2 years should be interesting because I'm now part of the national board, so that means a lot more interaction with the organization. We'll see if I have to not share my thoughts about NBJ. By the way, I'll be in DC for the Hall of Fame ceremony in December. And in addition to Stuart Scott, who will be honored, Tony Brown will be honored this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Tony Brown. Yeah. Is he still alive?
He's still alive. There's... I got a few reasons why we maybe shouldn't be honoring Tony Brown. But, you know, like I just said, I'm on the national board, so I'm going to keep my thoughts to myself.
So is one of them because his show put everybody to sleep on Sundays?
No, it has to do with his time at Hampton with the student paper. But yes, he's still alive, and he is 82. So that should be interesting. But I am back home now. It's good to be back home, and have nowhere to travel to, which is even a better feeling.
Yeah, I was gonna say since SummerSlam's not in LA anymore, you won't have to make a trip this weekend.
Yeah, not going anywhere. Well, going to Disneyland next week, but that's local. But yeah, outside of that,
so no Vegas, no. When's the next UFC? For the next big Liberty, one.
The next big one would be the December 12th show they announced, which is McGregor Aldo.
Okay. And then Rousey and Tate will be in January.
Yeah. So that'll probably be my next two trips out to Vegas. Well, no, I'm lying. I'll probably get out there before then, but...
of course, because you have a problem.
No, that football season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't you have to go back out to Vegas for the fantasy football
game? I'm not going to go because PWG's that weekend.
Ah, okay.
Battle of LA. I'm going to go to the third night with Andreas, so I'm going to stay home.
Okay. Yeah, speaking of fantasy football, we're going to start that up again, Marcus. Are you ready?
Can we change the rules of your league?
Let's talk about this on air real quick while we got some time, because there's two things that I'm thinking about. I think, Marcus, what I might end up doing is just going with the default setting.
Yes.
Right now I'm 60-40 in terms of leaning towards changing to the default setting. The other thing is, Marcus, do you want to invite our reigning champion back?
Oh.
Shit got real.
Well, I think if we do default settings, then we need to see if he can... win.
See if he was just taking advantage of the loophole.
Yeah, let's see if he can win with the common folk. The common settings.
Yes. So I think last year, what did we have, 12 teams last year?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm going to invite all of those folks to see if they want to return. And then we might have a couple extra spots for you listeners out there. So if you are interested in joining the Kings of Sport Fantasy Football League, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, facebook.com, the Kings of Sport, and we'll see what we can do.
You know what you should do? You should toss you-know-who an invite. just to see if he takes it.
You know I did that when he first left the show?
Oh, he didn't take it?
And got no response.
Oh, then don't do it. I still don't understand where that went south. I don't get it.
I guess you could say he was kind of like Prince. You know, he made his appearance and then he left.
Yeah, more like CM Punk. He just walked out.
This is why I wish we could play Prince music, because that would be what I'd end the segment with. But, you know, as we talked to Bomani Jones, friend of the program, we know that that's a no-no.
Yeah, especially after this week. He knows NABJ, so he might be doing a search for for black people. Black podcast.
Like, hey, Prince, Black Podcast Matter.
Yep. Oh, you know what we can do this one more time. It's still funny. Prince Iatea's theme song.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the artist formerly known as Prince Iatea, yep, from WCW.
We can go out with that.
Oh, that was... people hated that gimmick, but I thought it was great.
I mean, considering it was timely, that was the whole Prince symbol thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing we joked about with TNA and WWE now, is that they try to do stuff that's timely, but they tend to miss the ball. Well, WCW's on it, because that was really timely when they decided to do that character.
Did you catch Raw Monday night?
No, I did not.
Okay, because I was going to ask what you thought of that whole Arrow thing with Stephen Amell.
I never heard of Stephen Amell until recently, so I am not sure this is the celebrity involvement they were shooting for in terms of him making a huge impact on the final number. Is Arrow a big show?
It's as big a show as a comic book show can be now. I mean, it's pulling pretty good numbers for, I think it's on the CW. And, you know, it's got a cult following, but I don't know if those viewers necessarily are going to cross over and start watching wrestling just because this dude shows up on there.
Yeah, it's, I guess this was all sort of part of Cody's deal as a way to pay tribute to his father. So, in that sense, it's cool, but, I don't think this is going to do well, you know.
We'll have to get, Professor KME's thoughts after SummerSlam, because he watches Arrow and he watches wrestling, so he's probably the one to ask, because I've never seen an episode of Arrow.
Okay, then yeah, this is I was expecting, you know, New York City, SummerSlam, their second really biggest pay-per-view, I was expecting a bigger celebrity involvement, but I guess it's better than nothing.
They've fallen a bit since the days of Hugh Jackman showing up and punching Dolph Ziggler in the jaw.
Man, that's already been what? Brian said he was still there, so that must have been years ago. At least 4 years ago now.
That was when Real Steel was coming out.
That's right. Well,
but you know, though, Marcus, since they are in New York, maybe there's somebody out there that is looking for work now that could show up and punch somebody in the face.
Well, he's got a new job as of today.
Oh, he does. Okay, well, we've got some news to talk about in our next segment. We brought back Second Down last week to talk about some of the issues going on in the NFL, and I think we're going to do it again this week, Marcus, because there is certainly no shortage of NFL news, particularly when it pertains to your Jets, 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 Jets.
What a week. What a week.
All I want to say is EJ Manuel don't look so bad now, does he?
Well, I did see that. Let me find this tweet while you're closing us out. There was a funny EJ Manuel tweet from tonight about his performance. Let me find it.
That was going back to our discussion with E and the Cannon from Atomic Podcast over which bad black quarterback was least bad, Geno or EJ?
Manuel gets third team in 2-minute drill, throws his first pass into the Bills corporate hospitality tent. So,
hey, he's a team player. He's trying to give the corporate suits an experience. Here, have a free football.
So he's not doing great either, but
what's going on with our black quarterbacks these days? EJ out here acting crazy. Cam
fighting.
Cam is out here fighting. Geno Smith getting beat down. Is Russell Wilson all we got?
Hey, Russell's got a new deal. He's got a new woman.
What's going on with Colin Kaepernick?
Oh, jeez. You saw he was fighting with Alden Smith.
Leave Alden Smith alone. He's had enough problems.
Yeah, well, Colin picked his woman.
Is Teddy Bridgewater the only black quarterback that's actually focused on football? Maybe Jameis.
Jameis has been very impressive. Let's see how long he can keep it up. But everything I've read so far about Jameis has been great.
Well, I never thought the on-field was going to be the issue. It's like, if Jameis can keep his head on straight, I think he'd be a really good quarterback.
Yeah. He's actually, the great part for him is he has talent around him in Tampa Bay. I mean,
yeah.
When you have three targets who are 6'5 and above, makes life a lot easier.
That it does. You know what else makes life a lot easier, Marcus?
What's that?
The soothing sounds of the Prince Iaukea theme song.
All right.
So we're going to slide to the side, but don't you go anywhere, because coming up next, Second Down on the Kings of Sports.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
And now it's time to return to the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time.
It's the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gab fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow. Referees, whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
The old-timers, do you remember their names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by PlaceToBeNation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, and podcasts pertaining to the world of sports, pop culture, entertainment. If you want it, they've got it. PlaceToBeNation is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. Now, as we alluded to in the A block, there's a lot of news coming out in the world of football, so we had to bring Second Down back this week. And we're going to be talking about Marcus's beloved Jets. But because this is a show of facts, because this is a show of truth, I can't leave it up to you, Marcus, to discuss this topic because you're biased. So we need to bring somebody on that is unbiased and is actual factual and can help us figure out this Geno Smith story.
Yes, our guest this week is someone who I've wanted on the show now for 2.5 years, but for 2.5 years she's blown me off. Stop laughing, guys. Stop laughing. She is a friend of mine. She's the beat writer for the New York Jets for Newsday in New York. Her name is Kimberly A. Martin. Kim, what's up?
How are you guys?
Good. How's your last 24 hours been?
Oh man, I woke up this morning like, did it all really happen? In all seriousness, because yesterday was just, it was so stunning. Todd Bowles, the coach, comes in and holds this impromptu, 5-minute press conference, and it's pretty much, Geno's out for 6 to 10 weeks, got punched by a teammate. Okay, I can't say anything more. I've got to go to practice. And we, everybody's mouth was just open. We were just like, wait, what now? So it's been, we've all seen, covering the Jets, we've seen some crazy things. This is my fourth season with the team, and I came on probably 19 days after Tebow was signed, so I've seen a lot of craziness and nonsense. But yesterday, maybe at the top as far as the storyline and just how crazy it is that a teammate would punch a quarterback, no less.
Now, Kimberly, there's been a lot of back and forth and conflicting stories that have been reported by the media. Can you let the listeners know exactly where things stand right now in terms of what went down between Geno Smith and his teammate and where things stand right now?
Well, details are still coming out. I think it's wrong to assume that Geno was just an innocent bystander in all this and he just, was just minding his own business and just got sucker punched. Words were exchanged. This was an ongoing thing as far as frustrations on IK and Apollo's part about being owed this $600. He, purchased plane ticket for Geno to attend his charity event in July. Geno couldn't go because of a death of a close friend, apparently. And, IK wanted the money reimbursed. It's $600 for a plane ticket and I believe car fare or something like that, a limo. And the debt hadn't been paid. And words were exchanged. I was told that Geno put his finger in the guy's face. Now, that does not excuse. That does not excuse the behavior. It does not excuse IK punching him. But I think it's a situation where, had cooler heads prevailed, obviously none of this would have happened. And I talked to some people around the league, and I've gotten texts from people like, It's a wrap when you put your finger in somebody's face. That's the ultimate sign of disrespect. But I think, it's just crazy that you could, and I keep using the word crazy because it's just so unimaginable. But then again, it's the Jets, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But, just the fact that even though you're upset, you wouldn't have the presence of mind to not hit the quarterback. You may think he's, not a cool dude. You may think he's, thinks of his position, but you can't just cold cock a teammate and a quarterback. What are you doing? This is days before your first preseason game.
You mentioned the finger to the face, and as a man, that's I'm not a dude who fights. Never been in a fight, but if you stick your finger in my face, it might get me upset. And when you looked at the fact that Geno Smith, you might know this better than me, but is he respected by his teammates? Because, as you mentioned, you're going out and injuring your quarterback. But, to be honest, when I heard this news as a Jets fan yesterday, I was kind of excited. Because I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be starting week one.
Oh, that's so hateful.
I know you
Marcus.
Were excited.
So hateful.
I'm not hateful. And get well soon, Gino. But, I mean, Todd Bowles made it pretty clear that Gino was going to be the starter. And I wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that you were happy about the news. A lot of Jets fans sort of were like, whoa, once the initial shock of, are you serious, that really happened? And then the reality sunk in, like, oh, shoot, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to start. Great. But I will caution Jets fans, including you.
Oh, no.
Don't think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, going to be the savior of this team. The thing is, you know, Gino, you couldn't really gauge what their final record would be because you automatically had, from what you've seen thus far, you automatically would have had to assume he would have lost you some games just because he hadn't to this point proved that he can go out and throw more touchdowns than interceptions. Protecting the football, big issue for him. Making wise decisions, big issue for him. Reading defenses at times, a big issue. But the thing is with Fitzpatrick, he doesn't have as high a ceiling as Geno as far as the types of throws he can make, how he can run. You know, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is what he is. He's a smart guy, Harvard educated guy. He was in Chan Gailey's system before, so this is not anything new for him. And he commands a huddle. He's a veteran. So he may not wow you at times, but, you know, he may not make some boneheaded plays. Yes, he turns the ball over as far as interceptions, but you always expect him to throw more touchdowns than interceptions. And that's something you couldn't say about, you know. So I see why there's optimism for Jet fans. I think you didn't know what the record would be with Geno. With Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay, I could see them being 9-7. All right, I could see him scoring some points, getting the ball to their skill players, the defense making stops. Okay, but is 9-7 going to be enough to get the playoffs? I don't know. But again, the guy is coming off a broken leg last year. He's not, you know, he's not a burner. He's not Vic. He's not gonna shake guys out of their shoes. He just is reliable, and maybe that's enough for the Jets to get by.
When you talk about the reaction of the Jets fans, I'm wondering what the reaction was in the locker room. In terms of what you've been hearing from the players, how has this whole incident between Geno and IK been received?
Well, because it's training camp, we don't get locker room access. The Jets bring players out to speak to us. Since this happened yesterday, I think, you know, they had their morning walkthrough and Geno and IK were not there. And I think players are sort of like, whoa, why is Geno not here? It all kind of took them by surprise. And then details slowly emerge. You know, guys were shocked, obviously. But what I found interesting, some of the veterans, like outside linebacker Calvin Pace or center Nick Mangold, were saying, you know, there isn't a culture issue here. This is an isolated incident. Calvin Pace was saying, you know, there's this perception that we're just, you know, a wild and crazy bunch. That's not true. So I understand from their perspective, they're seeing it like, okay, this is one incident involving these two guys. This isn't like the entire locker room is running amok. But I do think, you know, for the players, you know, you kind of have to wonder how this will affect them going forward. I mean, tonight, I'm in Detroit right now. Tomorrow's their first preseason game, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had been taking reps with the second team offense. You know, guys were used to, you know, I mean, they're used to both quarterbacks at this point, but, you know, how does this change the offense? You know, what's the chemistry like with these guys? That's stuff that has to be worked out. And the players sort of, you know, they were focused on Geno being the starter. You know, now you have to see, they're saying all the right things as far as we believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I do believe that's the case. And even if it wasn't, really they have no choice because he's the guy right now.
Yeah, we mentioned Geno, and IK has now moved on 24 hours later in such a Rex Ryan move. The Buffalo Bills.
Isn't that something?
The Buffalo Bills have claimed IK off waivers. Were you surprised when you heard that Rex Ryan was up to his old tricks by claiming this dude off waivers?
Not at all. Like, I even tweeted, this is such a Rex Ryan move. Because even, you know, yesterday at the facility, some of us in the media were like, okay, you know, Rex is going to be trying to get that kid up there. And, you know, I wrote my story for tomorrow's paper. The lead of the story is, you know, Rex is clearly still trying to build that quote-unquote bully team in Buffalo that he wanted. And he's doing it quite literally, because when he was fired by the Jets and signed with the, and, you know, signed with the Bills, his introductory press conference, he said, you know, we're not going to be pushovers. We're going to be doing the pushing. We want to build a bully. We want to have a hard, like, physical team up here. And Rex is all about physicality. He likes guys that hit. I mean, you know, he's given second chances to Richie Incognito and Percy Harvin, who was in Seattle and Minnesota and last year with the Jets. Now he's in Buffalo, and now you have IK. Rex had said at the time that IK was claimed off waivers and awarded to the Bills, that Rex hadn't spoken to IK before then. but he's confident that, you know, this is, from what he had seen, this is a good kid who made a mistake. He said everybody has some things, you know, they're listed as characteristic issues or troublemakers, but everybody's got something. And he said he's confident that the kid won't have a problem there. The funny thing is, I just spoke to IK like probably 4 days ago, and as soon as he walked up to me, he's really polite, and when he shook my hand, granted, I'm not as strong as he is, but I was not expecting the force with which he shook my hand, and I was just like, dude, like, ease up. But he was so fun to watch in practice with, you know, going out, you know, quarterback drills, and like, it was awesome. Because it's funny, it's not funny, but in retrospect, you know, the way you watch him, it's like, gosh, he is so violent, the way he, you know, he goes after the quarterback and stuff. And now, days later, he really and truly went after a quarterback. So, you know, he had character issues. They were red flags during the draft. So I think, you know, people are pointing to the Jets. Do they have an image problem? I think they do. Because when this happened, it's like, oh, here we go, something with the Jets. I talked to one NFL front office exec, and he was like, if you didn't tell me the characters involved, I would have automatically guessed it was the Jets. They would have been my first choice.
I would have said Raiders. Come on.
You know, but that's not Todd Bowles' fault or Mike McCagnan's fault, the new GM. They just got here. They're inheriting Rex Ryan players, John Idzik players, and then you have the Sheldon thing too. It's like these new guys have dealt with a lot of off the field situations. Of course, this situation happened in the locker room, but you know, non field incidents. They've had a lot to deal with in a short span of time, and you can't change a culture overnight. So as much as these Jets players want to say blame the media, like, oh, they're always talking about same old Jets. To be fair, there's always something going on with the Jets, no matter who's in charge. However, Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan now are trying to fix that, but you can't fix that overnight. And I think one of the first things you saw was, okay, IK's not on the team anymore. He put his hands on the teammate, he's gone. They claim that if this were somebody else, he'd be gone too. I can't imagine if Revis clocked Gino that he'd be gone, but, you know, I understand Todd Bowles is all about accountability. He's always trying to get guys to buy in and say, you know, we're teammates, we're brothers. I'm not here to deal with any foolishness. Like, he's had a lot of foolishness to deal with, but going forward, it'll be interesting to see whether this incident kind of fractures the locker room, or whether the guys rally around Fitzpatrick like Jets fans would hope to see and they win together.
So we know IK's immediate future, you know, up there with Rex Ryan. But in terms of Geno Smith and his long-term future, a lot of talk has been made in the last couple of days about leadership and accountability and manhood and words like that being thrown around in regards to Geno. Do you think, you know, you mentioned his inefficiency on the field. Do you think that the bigger issue might be that he's lost the locker room, or that he is not going to be able to be an effective leader if and when he's able to regain that starting position?
I mean, I think that at the heart of all this is players respect guys who go out and do their job and do it well. And I think that's been the issue with Geno this entire time. He came in, he was drafted second round pick. They knew he would be a project. Then Sanchez gets hurt, and now he's a starter. Okay, he didn't earn the job. Second year, he didn't earn the job because they brought in Mike Vick, but Mike Vick wasn't asked to really compete with him. He wasn't allowed to compete with Geno. It wasn't an open competition. So Geno didn't earn the job second year. Come in, they have Fitzpatrick. Geno's told it's his job to lose. When you have a situation where guys, you know, you're the quarterback of a team, so you have to be a leader, but I think it's very difficult to be a leader and to command respect when you go out and make, like, really careless mistakes. You don't know if Geno, when he comes back, in what roles he'll be in, because Todd Bowles said, hey, we're not going to rock the boat if what's working while he's gone is working, you know? So, you know, this is a bad spot for him because there's so much uncertainty. And, you know, you don't know how guys will react to him. And even having somebody like Darrelle Revis say, you know, I blame both of them for the situation. You know, everybody was sort of thinking like, oh, Geno, like, oh, he got sucker punched. And you have the best player on the team saying, well, both of them are at fault here. Not saying equally at fault, but they're both at fault in some respect. So I think, you know, when you have a team, you want a leader. You want somebody who, when he makes a mistake, he comes back to a huddle and says, my bad, I got this, don't worry. If Geno tells you this, you know, in the huddle, do you really believe that he's got this? No, he has to prove it. So this is the year, this is the show me season for him, and now he's out 6 to 10 weeks at least. So who knows what's going to happen to him.
Well, I'm all behind the new Jets starting quarterback. I'll just put it like that. Cam, let the people know where they can find your work.
Well, I'm Jets beat writer for Newsday. You can find me on Twitter at @kmart_li. And I'm also on Instagram, Kimberly L-E-Y Martin.
All right.
Thank
you,
Cam.
So you feel better, Marcus?
I feel a lot better. I'm expecting 9-7 now.
Okay. Well, since you're in such a good mood, maybe once we go to break, I can talk to you about that $600 you owe me.
All right.
All right.
We'll talk that
out. Oh, boy.
Thanks for coming on, Kimberly, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Cam.
All right. We'll be back with more Kings of Sport right after this. Walk that trick. 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 I'ma make these suckers recognize I ain't playing. Oh, if you violate off the top trick, you gotta go. I done held in a lot of shit, and I'm about to flip. Now I think it's time to show you bitches who you fucking with. DJ, that's the name, and I came to bring the pain. Anna on my chest, got me busting at you lemon lanes. Yeah, I know, you fucking with a street nigga. From the gutter, pimp type slash drug dealer. Born and raised in that ill Memphis, Tennessee. Before it's said and done, you bitches gon' remember me. This only the beginning, I got a lot to say. It's been a long time, and you got hell to pay. Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio family of podcasts. HighVoltageRadio.com is the place you need to go for the wildest selection of podcasts on the internet. We're talking about shows like The Pittsburgh Nerd. We're talking about shows like Attack of the Fangirls, The Gravy Age, Axology, Mad Mock, and of course, frenemies of the program, Jamie and Bill with Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Yeah, happy birthday, Bill. Maybe one of these days we'll have you on the show.
Or maybe not.
I think, like, Bill and Jamie coming on the show, it's kind of like, what's the deal Jimmy Kimmel does at the end of every episode? He's like, oh, Matt Damon was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, Bill's our Matt Damon. So, you got that going for you, which is nice. But, If you want to check out Mr. Throwback Thursday or any of the other podcasts available through High Voltage Radio, head on over to highvoltageradio.com. Check them out. A lot of good work being done. A lot of different and unique work being done. So High Voltage is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with highvoltageradio.com. And it is time for your favorite segment of the show, people. Segment 4. It's the repository of ratchetness, if you will. It's where Marcus and I take some of the craziest stories from the week in the world of sports and entertainment, and we just throw them in a pot and serve it to you hot. And Marcus, we talked about Geno Smith in the last segment, and so I'm going to need you to come with something even crazier to wrap up the show today in segment 4.
Well, in that case, let's talk BET.
Oh, wait a minute. I think we need to start we need for some imaging for the show. Much like when Jon Stewart talks about Fox, he has like the ominous news and bullshit mountain. Like, we need to get like a stinger for BET. Like, whenever you mention BET, like, dun, dun, dun. Black evil television.
Yeah, just take something from Boondocks. I'm sure they did something that we could use.
Yeah, and Aaron Magruder's not going to sue us. He's not Prince.
Nah, he's not.
So what is going on with America's favorite black network, Marcus?
So you remember last month when we talked about BET Untouched coming back?
Yes.
And we said, hey, you know, Cal Dansby of The Corner was at the NBA Awards, and he overheard Pooch Hall from the game discuss BET Untouched coming back. So Kel decided to write about it, and it was a trending topic, and everyone was all excited. And the next day, BET came out and denied the story, only to probably like 2 weeks later say, surprise, BET Untouched coming back, which meant Kel was right. So, for the last couple of weeks now, we've been under the impression that BET Untrapped was actually coming back. It was going to be at 11 o'clock instead of 3 a.m. So, maybe the videos won't be the same, but it's still at least raunchy hip-hop. Well, this week we found out that, in fact, BET Untrapped is not coming back.
What?
And this was all part... an elaborate part on BET's in to promote the return of Punk'd.
Punk'd on BET?
Punk'd on BET. They ran this whole BET Uncut shenanigan bullshit to promote Punk'd. And this was their first quote-unquote Punk'd, was getting people to believe that Uncut was returning.
Oh, well, why don't they ask Vince Russo how tricking your audience, how well that goes over?
You know, they could benefit from watching some wrestling, because my first reaction was, this is so TNA. Why they decided to do all this to promote Punk'd. I mean, to the point where they had Pooch Hall on the red carpet in front of other media members discuss his favorite BET Untrapped memories. This was all a month in the making. So
Derwin Davis was in on the swerve.
He was in on the swerve.
Damn it, Derwin.
Just call him Kevin Nash.
And so does that make a girl Melanie Scott Hall?
I think so. minus all the issues.
Tasha Mack is X-Pac.
Oh, yeah. And BET wonders why people don't watch their network. For the longest, I was a supporter of BET because I felt that, you know, when I worked there, the critics were a little harsh. They were a little too mean. I felt some of the programming they did was actually not offensive compared to VH1, which continues to do the hip-hop fill-in-the-blank shows. But now I'm done defending BET. This is the final straw.
So I got a couple of questions about this, Marcus, you know, coming from this story. Question number one, Do you know what the reaction of Black Twitter was to this bait and switch?
No, it happened sort of late in the evening Tuesday, and I don't think Twitter caught on to what happened. So, in that sense, they got off lucky.
Because we're recording Wednesday night, and I think even more so, like, I think if Black Twitter had exploded, it would have been a bad but good situation. But I think it's Wednesday night, and I still don't see a whole lot of people talking about this BET Uncut thing. So it's like, maybe people just don't care, and I think maybe apathy is an even worse outcome.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't care, Deborah Lee. But the second question, Marcus, why is Punk'd going to be on BET? Is Ashton Kutcher attached to it?
Yeah, that's even... Yeah, I don't know. But
is it going to be Kevin Hart's Punk now?
Let's hope not. It's better than Swerved.
Didn't MTV try to bring back Punk like a couple years ago and it didn't work?
I think so, yeah. But actually, let's give the author of the story, the man who got Twitter all worked up, a phone call. Let's make a call to Las Vegas here.
Okay. I mean, you're very familiar with the 702 area code.
I am.
Probably got 702 Stilo as your ringtone.
Hello?
Kel.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
What's up, man? You're on the podcast, Kings of Sport.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Nate Milton, Kel Dansby, Nate Milton.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, Nate? How's it going?
Going good, man, going good. At least it was going good until all this uncut stuff started popping off.
Yeah, that happens when you're dealing with BET. Man.
Yeah, so we were discussing Uncut, and I explained the backstory about how you reported the story, and you went out there and, you know, said, hey, it was coming back, and BET denied it, and then BET said, oh, just kidding, it is coming back. And then on Tuesday, BET says, nah, just kidding, this was all part of a plan to promote Punk. What are your thoughts, sir, about this whole elaborate ruse?
Oh, man, BET is hurting for marketing. And that's the best they can come up with in a room full of people that make, you know, six figures, and they're hurting. They should have just bought back Uncut. They got some traction.
Yeah.
I was saying this the other day. I don't know anyone that's visited BET.com in the past 10 years. I don't know anyone that's went to the website since everyone was like 16 voting for Lil Bow Wow on 106 and Park. So BET Uncut, you know, I put out the story, and I heard them say it. I heard them cut the little promo pieces. So I put it on Twitter. They got a pretty good response on my Twitter. Decided to turn it into a little article. Put that out. It got good traction on the site, on BSO. And then they wanted to deny it. So they did that. And I guess it was part of a big hoax. But they really should cut me a check. I mean, it's the first time people were talking about BET in a long time, man. So it got a nice little hype. And then people watched for 2 minutes. And then turned the channel. Because no one wants to see Punk. These kids are on Vine. Vine is free, like, without wasting time. There's a reason these guys are on for 6 seconds. Not watching it for 30 minutes.
Exactly my thoughts. And you know, the fact that there are not too many times in BET is a trending topic on Twitter outside of the BET Awards. So the fact that, based off your story and your tweet alone, that people were talking about their network really shows you that, as you're right. I mean, even if it was the 11 o'clock time slot like they teased, that's still better than what they ended up putting out in the end.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, BET Uncut is nostalgic for, you know, people of our generation. Either you were like too young to be watching it and you stayed up and you were sneaking around your parents, or you just come home from like college or whatever it may be, and then it's 3 a.m., you and your boys are hanging outside, and BET Uncut is on and they're watching White Girls or something. Or, you know, Tip Drill, Late Night, and having a great time. Everyone remembers those, so... It just seemed like they could bring it back and do something fresh and connect to an older audience and still bring in a new audience. You know, WorldStar Hip Hop is huge and all these other sites, and there's a market for those things. You don't have to make it as raunchy and uncut as online, but you can have videos that are debuted there. It kind of went so many different ways, so much hype behind it to just ruin it by putting out Punk. They should have saw the response it was getting and then created the show.
Yeah.
They should have just brought it back and then put Punk after it. It would have been great. And then just piggyback off of that. But instead, they scrapped it.
Yeah, I was just telling Marcus, like, Punk, it wasn't relevant a few years ago when they tried to bring it back on MTV. I don't see it being a great fit on BET, but the person I feel most sorry for in this situation, Kel, is the Mighty Casey. Because you know when he heard this announcement, he was going back into the studio to make White Girls 2. He was like, we coming back? Let's get the
y'all band ready for it.
He was bringing it. He was like, hey, somebody still don't tell Minister Farrakhan because we coming back. And now he's hired all these women for nothing.
Hey, yo, I was ready for it. I was ready for, like, the Asian Girls remix. I was ready for the Latin Chicks joint, everything. Nowadays, everyone would have had a video up. Look at the quality of white girls. Everyone could have made a spinoff. You'd have had, imagine the Brazilian Girls remix? Crazy. Crazy. So I was ready for all that, man. They really missed out on a good opportunity in my eyes. Because that's the only reason I put the tweet out and I put the story out to begin with. Like, it caught my attention. If I like it, I'm going to write about it. That's something, you know, I pride myself in doing. Like, cool, I cover boxing and MMA all the time. But if a random silly little story comes across, you know, my way, I work for a site where I can publish that. You know, there's a reason why I work for the site I work for. Because sometimes I want to write about something completely off topic. And that was off topic and it got traction. And it was kind of cool to see, like, you know, every now and then your influence and how many people pick it up and stuff. So that was cool in the long run. They missed out. Hopefully someone else could bring something back like that. MTV is always cutting edge when it comes to that stuff. They'll see the traction and bring back something like that. And the BET will be like, damn, we should have done it. Instead, they just did an MTV retread. So that's BET for you, man. That's what they are. Actually, our people are struggling.
To make it worse, number one, I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't realize this actually aired on television last night. So I'm sure people weren't tuning in to find out about this Punk joke. Number two, it's not even Ashton Kutcher. It's two dudes I never heard of before who are hosting the show.
They're Viners. They do second Vines, and people think they're funny.
King Batch?
Yeah,
King
it Batch? Is. It's King Batch into Storm Powers.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, cool, but there's a reason why their audience watches them for 6 seconds. You're turning people who make great quality work for 6 seconds and giving them a show and saying, fill 30 minutes.
Yeah,
it's kind of difficult. And they just really didn't think it through. And the production wasn't there, I guess. And people just tuned out. Like, they tuned in for a reason. It's ha-ha funny for a second, and you wanted to punk everyone. It got you the shock value. And then that was it.
Yeah. So
now it's back to the drawing board. Back to, I don't know, man. They've missed out on everything. They've got no reality shows. They throw on whack boxing matches. So I guess Andre Ward is like the next thing they can have. Besides that, BET, irrelevant still, sadly to say. So
I take, back to the I drawing take it board you're not, I take it you're not watching Nellyville?
I'm not watching Nellyville. Unless they have an episode where I can go back and see when he was busted with, like, crazy amounts of cocaine or whatever it was, that's the one I want to see. I think they kept that off air when his tour bus was raided and he almost went to prison. So I would have watched that. That's captivating television. If that was on VH1 or E, they would have showed that opening episode. BET doesn't have that wherewithal, so.
I just want to see Floyd Mayweather show up and be like, hey, I heard that song.
Yeah. Yo, I just need them to give every, like, obscure black act a reality television show. Like, if I can have a reality show that follows around the New Day constantly from WWE, I'm here for it. Like, doing the Big E dance in the beginning, I'm there. I'll watch that. Like, they just don't know what the pulse of culture is. Like, they sit at their computers, they watch black Twitter, and they try to catch a trend. Like, that's not what moves the needle. You got to be cutting edge. That's not what our culture is about nowadays. And, you know, at one point, they knew what was happening. And then now, they're whack. And they're going to continue to be whack. But I gave them a buzz for a quick second, and I'm happy to bless them with that. Now, if they want to sign, you know, my podcast, The Corner, as a show, I'll do a 30-minute show, and they can cut the check, and we'll make them hot again.
That check will be late. It won't be on time, trust me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Andreas and I can tell you.
We got to hide Andreas' name.
Oh, man.
I'm sure BET's done cutting Andreas' check.
Done. Hey, no way he just stepped foot in the BET building ever again.
So, you know, and then BET's, it's a wild experience. It's like the Wild West there. Shout out to the people who hit me up from BET, though. Nice people. They're just like, yo, we ran an article discrediting you by mistake. We didn't even mean to dish you. You're right. Shout out to those people. I guess that's what happened when you have two different offices. So one office knew I was right. The other one said, no, run the store. So whatever. One is dumb, and corporate suits keep losing money. And I'll probably just throw on an episode of Boondocks when they made fun of the BET lady and have a ball tonight.
Black evil television.
Yes.
Yeah, man, but that story is crazy. BET is sadly enough. We got to change this world. But, you know, like I said, the New Day should have their own reality show. If I see anyone from BET, I'm pitching that.
You know the best part about the New Day, though?
Nate, your microphone, Nate, is all shoddy.
All right, hold on. All right, how's that?
There you
Marcus,
go.
Marcus, mess up the mic. There you go.
You know the best part about New Day, though, is that now they have these little 6 and 7 and 8 year old little white kids singing Two Live Crew, basically.
Oh, man.
That's the key, that crossover marketing. They're so over right now, they need to get the belts back. The primetime players is trash. No one wants to do the little jig that they do. Get New Day their shot. Three black men hitting poorly made dance moves and being positive. We need positive black people in this world. And that's what the New Day is bringing. I'm telling you, I wouldn't watch Total Divas again unless my bae Sasha Banks is on it. If the New Day had a show.
That's
how it got to go.
In terms of reality shows, they're really missing out. And speaking of Total Divas, they sort of did this one week recently where they had essentially dashboard cameras inside three different sets of rental cars as the guys are driving from city to city. They can make an entire show just on these guys driving rental cars across the country. And I'm sure just the conversations these dudes have when they're in a car, I mean, it would never happen because it's probably, you know, it's not a PG. And number two, the whole kayfabe thing would be out of the window. But it'd be fascinating to see what these guys talked about on a weekly basis.
Well, I mean, primetime players got pulled over for a market.
Yeah.
Driving through Missouri, driving while black, I guess. So, I mean, that'd be a great episode of the show. He's right, man. That's what people clamor for, though. And that's what the internet's here
they
for.
Went after.
Because I know WWE, you know, they aren't behind non-PG material. But that got on Instagram, and it became a story, and people wanted to watch it. So that's why we have cool stuff like podcasts. And I'm here talking to you because we don't have to be stuck up. We don't have to be who we are, I guess, on our daily basis. We can go and be Superman. We don't have to be Clark Kent, which is great. So glad you guys had me on the podcast, one. And I'm glad we do what we do, man. It's cool to be journalists. It's cool to be in the sports scene. It's cool to talk about all of this. But at the end of the day, we have our own opinions, and we're wild, and we're funny, and people don't get to see that in our writing, in our day-to-day. So I'm glad we get a little glimpse of that now.
Before we let you go, we mentioned earlier in the episode the Virgil interview. I'm still, a week later, I'm still confused and disturbed and amazed at the interview. How did this all come about?
I learned so much.
I learned too much about Virgil. I learned too much.
It came about because 2 weeks ago on the Corner podcast with me and Andreas Hale, we were talking about the racism in WWE and just racial stereotypes throughout history. And we had our top five list of most racist characters, and we agreed Virgil was the most racially insensitive character in WWE history. So he was pretty much like the slave for $1 Million Man and everything. So Andreas told this spirited story on how Virgil curved him at a Comic-Con one year and tried to charge him $25 for an autograph. And Virgil was like sitting by himself in the mall. He wasn't even at Comic-Con. So he's like, I'm not paying you. So he had a little beef with all of that. And on the podcast, I mentioned, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get Virgil on the show. You got to squash the beef. He's your idol. Have him talk.
He's your idol.
And he was like, man, you're not going to do that. He's like, he's going to try to charge us. I was like, I got it. So I asked Steven Virgil, and through the proper channels, Virgil has a manager.
Wow.
And just outside of the interview, just mind blown. So there's someone who handles Virgil's stuff.
How you get 10% of nothing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, Olive Garden, I'm sure Olive Garden pays the bills.
Where is this? Olive Garden right next to his house might be the greatest Olive Garden in the world. Because this is the... Oh, I'm sure one day we can all pack up and visit this Olive Garden. It sounds like the service is impeccable. But... it was a process, though, behind the scenes, actually, because I used to work at a radio station. That's kind of where I cut my teeth. So I was a producer there. I used to randomly cold call people and get going on. But with him, like, he sent a message a day, like an email every day. It was just like, hey, email me tomorrow. Hey, email me tomorrow. Hey, and I was like, yo, okay, we're not going to get this guy. Then the day before the show, he's like, call me at this time. I was like, all right, cool, got him. And then an hour before the show, he's like, here's the questions you can ask us. And I got on the phone, and I was just like, oh, okay, what's up, Virgil? And then it was his manager, dude. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I wonder how much this job pays. I might be in the wrong profession. So the guy was like, yeah, man, just ask him these questions and go ahead. And then once Virgil got on the phone, the questions didn't matter. Like, he'd answer anything. So it clicked. I was like, okay, this is why he asked questions. And those are his answers. Well, we kind of deviated towards the end. But a lot of those questions are the ones they prepared prior and sent to me. So those are his answers to the socially acceptable questions they provided. Imagine what he would say just off the top. So, like, towards the end, it starts going crazy, and, you know, he almost starts crying. That interview has everything. It tugs at the heartstrings, has laughter, has, like, some real raunchy stuff. It's probably the weirdest but most satisfying interview I've done so far in my career. Virgil's a man. If I could make the little stupid Virgil noise, I would make. There you go. You know what that is.
Fuck Mark. Money.
You know what that is.
Get that fuck money.
No, it was so weird. He came on, he didn't say anything, he just started singing. Like, that was the first thing. As soon as he came on the phone, he started doing his own theme music. And Andreas had to get up from his seat and walk away because he couldn't believe that shit. So, like, the first two questions are me and Virgil, because Andreas left the room. He couldn't even take it. He was like, nah, this shit ain't real. And then he just walked out. Like, he couldn't believe what was going on. And at the end of the interview, you get, like, our genuine reaction. So as soon as he hangs up, like, you can hear us, we're just like, did that happen? Like, we couldn't believe he said what he said. Andreas, greatest part of the interview, asked him, what was it like being Million Dollar Man's slave? So you ever seen a slave with 14 and a half inches? And Andreas was like, the serious as day. He's like, no. Like, what kind of question is that? It was the craziest thing ever, man. And, friend of the show, Virgil. I mean, I don't have him on again. He retweeted the interview. I don't know if he listened to it. He must love it, I guess. That's his normal day-to-day. Like, I pray for that guy, though.
Something's
I hope
yeah.
that, like, he's still in character. Like, something's a little off, but it makes a great, great radio. And then now I got to get Sasha Bae on the podcast.
There you go. All right, Joe, plug your podcast one more time.
So, the podcast is The Corner. We're on Loudspeakers Network. It's me, Kel Dansby, and Andreas Hale. You can find us on SoundCloud and on iTunes. And on Twitter, it's at The Corner LSN. Comes out every Wednesday. Search us. It's funny. It's entertaining. We actually have a good show with good content. Funny guys. And you get to hear Marcus every now and then come on there and say, goddamn it, Kel, and try to rip me for my opinion, which are always just factual. So I don't know what it is.
Define factual. I mean, really.
I mean, Randy Moss greater than Jerry Rice. You know,
God damn it, Kel.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, brother.
All right.
So that was go listen to an interview, people. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Oh, I wonder if Virgil's manager is slick.
So he's probably got some white dude, you think?
No, I'm thinking it's the doctor of soul, Slick. Like, what's Slick doing now?
I thought Slick was like an actual reverend somewhere. I thought he was preaching.
He might be, but you never know. You never know. He might be. But yeah, Virgil has a manager. That is hilarious.
That's scary. I want to interview the manager. I don't want to interview Virgil. I want to hear what the manager has to think about Virgil.
What if it's his actual manager from Olive Garden?
Yeah.
It's just Steve from the night shift. Virgil, we need more breadsticks to table 6.
He needs to get a job there.
Oh, OG is good, though. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going back anytime soon. I think I've outgrown the Olive Garden.
Let me tell you, Marcus, they had this stuffed chicken marsala.
Was it good?
It was scrumptious. But I made 2 meals out of it because, you know, getting a little bit older, so I can't consume as much food as I used to. So I had some last night, and then I had some for dinner tonight.
There you go. The breadsticks, though, I mean, delicious.
Oh, yeah, the bread, especially when they come out hot.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't sell them in stores. I mean, they have the Cheddar Bay biscuits in stores. Where are the breadsticks?
It's just have a whole freezer case of side dishes from restaurants. They like should. The cheddar biscuits. I think they've got Rally's fries.
They got Rally's. They got Red Robin fries. They have...
I want to see like the Bang Bang shrimp from Bonefish Grill.
I don't think I've been to Bonefish Grill.
But it's good. It's a little pricey, maybe a little too pricey for the food that you get, but it is good food.
That's our food talk for the week.
I'm still mad you and Wade didn't record and Are You Ribbing Me?
I know.
You're the BET of wrestling podcasts. You promised the people something.
What? To be fair, they haven't done one themselves in a few weeks now.
No,
so
no, they haven't. they just abandoned it all.
Yeah, they just gave up on it.
Like, you know what? I don't think. I think they did 3 and they quit.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll start our own food podcast.
We did Brian involved as well.
Yeah.
Spinoff between the two podcasts.
Yeah, that might work. That might work. It'd be a better idea than Punk'd on BET.
Yeah. Ugh.
Like that's crazy. Like the fact that they actually did that on television.
I almost want to go back and just watch how it all went down on TV, just to get a better sense of, like,
Like, did they start with the uncut theme and then go to Punk?
Yeah, that'd be funny almost. And then, yeah, ooh. I might have to go watch now and see. Because I'd be really mad then.
Oh, BT. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, on Twitter, yeah, you can feel some type of way. But if I actually tuned in to watch this show and instead I get these two kids from Instagram or YouTube that just pop up playing pranks on people, I'm like, this is not what I want at all.
Yeah.
Where's the big booty girls at?
Not cool, BT.
Not cool at all.
And your ratings reflect that.
Oh, poor BET. When will they ever get right?
Never.
So they are doomed to fail for the rest of their existence.
They are under this current leadership, yes.
I think the only person that... actually succeeded from BET was Bob Johnson, and he got the hell out.
Yeah, he cashed out. Said, forget this.
I'm going to buy a basketball team.
Yeah.
Called the Bobcats.
Oh, Terrence J's done all right. He's going on to...
Yeah.
Some success.
I guess Lala.
Yeah.
Didn't she start on 106 Park?
Oh, I don't know. Did she?
They started. No, she was on MTV.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, TRL. Yeah, I was getting my my teen live music shows confused. One had Carson Daly and Lala. The other one had Lil Bow Wow. And you wonder why BET losing.
Yeah. Bow Wow. Bow Wow in 2014, I should say.
Oh, but speaking of losing, Marcus, you know who's not losing?
Who's that?
The listeners, if they follow us on Twitter.
That is true.
And if let's say a listener was interested in following you, Marcus, and hearing about your trip to NABJ and not seeing Prince and any other things that you might be talking about this week, where can they follow you at?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Also want to give a shout-out to Mike Mills for the Book of the Territory podcast that dropped this Wednesday. So if you're listening to this, well, obviously you're listening to the show now because it's in your ear. But it's late. I mean, it's not late, but it's been a long day.
You're just
Marcus.
Old. Just admit it. I'm old.
I think I'm still recovering. My recovery time isn't as quick as it used to be. But you can check out Booking the Territories podcast, and it's this week it's me and Mike Mills, and we are talking for almost an hour about Hulk Hogan, about the current state of wrestling, about the stuff going on with Destination America and Ring of Honor and TNA, and also about black workers in the WWE and how they are portrayed. So obviously, if you're listening to this show, some of those topics might interest you, so go check that out. It's a new show, and hopefully you guys give them a chance. You can also go to Podcastland, podcastland.com, and vote for the podcast of the month. As of this recording, we are top 5 in comedy, top 5 in sports, and top 5 overall for all podcasts. Yep, so for those of you that were wondering what you can get me for my birthday, how about going over to Podcastland for 2 minutes and voting for the Kings of Sport? Either that or money, or liquor.
Or white women.
Or any woman. This point, 38. This point, you know what? I could have said something racially insensitive, but you know, it's good to have a filter sometimes.
Yeah. Don't get fired.
Yeah, don't get fired from this free podcast. Let's see. Speaking of this free podcast, you can follow the free podcast on Twitter, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Hit us up if you're interested in joining the Fantasy Football League this year, and we will send you that information. Go to Facebook.com/ The Kings of Sport to keep the discussion going. If there's something that we talked about on this week's show, whether it was Marcus's trip, BET, or even the Geno Smith stuff, head over there and leave your opinions. Comments and thoughts from the listeners are always welcome. I think that's it. iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review, and share the show with your friends. So, Marcus, unless you have any other things to discuss, I think we're going to go ahead and call it a show.
Let's call it a show.
All right. So, thanks for listening. We appreciate it each and every week, and we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Marcus, can I talk to you about that $600 real quick? And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Attack like I just left. talking to the road expert.